scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, you come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. And it is my prayer at this time, Heavenly Father, that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. Okay, so the picture on the front of the bulletins, in case you're wondering, is Zacchaeus in a tree. It's not a really good picture. I was having a hard time finding a picture to go on the front of the bulletin of somebody in a tree. I came up with that. There's a few things we want to talk about Zacchaeus in particular. It talks about the fact that Zacchaeus is a tax collector. And a lot of times in the gospel, you hear the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the chief officials and all the pious religious people complaining about the fact that Jesus hangs around with sinners and tax collectors. They're two different groups of people. And as we just had tax day last week, we all know that tax collectors are worse than sinners. At least I figured that out when I had to pay my taxes. The reason tax collectors were set so apart from just regular sinners is because most people are capable of admitting the fact that they're sinners, and certainly tax collectors are able to admit that too. But at this time in history, a tax collector was basically equal to a traitor to their people. Israel, being part of the Roman Empire at this time, what the Roman Empire would do is they would come in and they would set, for different districts, they would set a tax collector over that district. And it was up to the tax collector to acquire a certain amount of money for the government. They had a set amount that they needed to collect. But there were no clearly defined tax laws, so the tax collector could make up anything he wanted, and all he had to pay back to the government was the amount that they set for him to collect. If he collected more than that, he got to keep it. That's how they got paid. If he only collected that much, it all went to the government. If he collected less than that much, he had to come up with the rest. That's why you have instances, for example, in some of the stories, they'll be talking about the fishing boats come in the morning, and there's the tax collector standing on the beach waiting for the fishing boats to come in. And the tax collector will count your fish and decide how much tax you need to pay based on the fish that you brought in. And today's amount might be more than yesterday's was, and tomorrow's might be even more than that. And the tax collector could not be questioned. That's why a lot of tax collectors were very wealthy. And that's why tax collectors were separate from sinners. But Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "Come down. I'm going to your house today." And Zacchaeus was excited about this. He knew clearly that he had done wrong things. In fact, he says, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back four times the amount." Well, if you consider the fact that probably most of what he had, he cheated out of somebody. So he's probably, after this, going to be left with nothing at all. He was so excited to have Jesus come to his house. How excited would you be if Jesus came to your house today? If on the way back from chapel this afternoon, on the way back to your apartment, there's Jesus waiting at your door. Oh, great. Who said, oh, great? Well, I have bad news. When we have accepted Jesus Christ into our lives, he's there. God is with us always. In fact, Jesus ends the Great Commission at the end of Matthew, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I remember when Ruby was very small, and we were trying to teach her to behave herself in church, which she's always done a good job of, but before the service was started, she had a little tendency to run around, and that's okay. But we were trying to teach her to be a little more respectable about the church. And I told her, you know, Ruby, the church, you know what the church is? And she said, what? And she said, the church is God's house. It's where God lives. She said, no, Dad, you're wrong. Dads start being wrong at a very early age. She said, no, Dad, you're wrong. Jesus lives right here. She's taught me a lot of lessons. But he's here. He's with us always. Always. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 9. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle in the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark for you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light. We can't hide from God, no matter how much we want to. And we do things sometimes that we don't want anybody to see, but God sees them. He's been with us all along. How excited Zacchaeus was to have Jesus come to his house. How excited are we to have him sit with us when we're reading whatever book we're reading, when we're watching whatever TV show we happen to be watching, to have him standing there looking over our shoulders as we're playing cards, to have him seated at table with us when we eat a meal, to be listening to our phone conversations, wherever we are, whatever we do. How excited are we to have him with us? More often than not, I fear we are not. Jesus later said to Zacchaeus, today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what is lost. We have all at some time in our lives been lost. You know, we talk about people when they accept Christ. We talk about sometimes that how somebody so-and-so found Jesus. The reality is, he's been there the whole time. He comes to our house when we need him. It says the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. He's looking for us. I think that's one of the beautiful things about Christianity compared to other religions. In other religions, you have people working so hard to reach God, working so hard to find God. But in Christianity, it's God who has worked so hard to find us. There's no way we can reach him. He reaches us. He comes to us. And we're so excited to have him come to our house at first, until we realize sometimes that he's not going to leave. You ever have that unwanted house guest? Somebody who overstays their welcome? Have you turned to Jesus yet and said, you know, maybe if you didn't follow me quite so close, maybe if you took a couple days off from being the Lord and Savior so I could do this other thing I want to do that I really don't want you to see? He doesn't take days off. And he wants to be with us. He wants to be with us. But there are honestly things that we don't want to share with him, and he doesn't want us to do those things, but we continue to do them. Those TV programs we probably shouldn't be watching, the movies we probably shouldn't be watching, the books and magazines we probably shouldn't be reading. excuse me, the conversations we probably shouldn't be having, the feelings we have in our hearts that we probably shouldn't be feeling, the hate, the anger. We cannot hide these things from Him. We cannot hide these things from the person who lives inside of us. We cannot hide these things from the person who watches over us. And though He watches over us with loving eyes, they are not blind to the things we do. He forgives us, certainly, but He would rather we did not do those things. I've been kicking around the idea for several years now of getting a tattoo, but I think it'd hurt. I'm pretty certain it would hurt. But one of the tattoos I would like to get, if it wouldn't hurt, I would like to get a tattoo that says, "I am never alone," as a reminder that He's always there. You see, I don't think it's a bad thing necessarily that He's always with us, though sometimes we may see it that way. Because as long as He's there with us, we won't be lonely, as long as we remember He's there, as long as we don't try to push Him away or ignore Him. He's with us. He watches over us. He keeps us safe. He tries to keep us out of trouble. I didn't get in a whole lot of trouble when I was a teenager, did I, Mom? No. I'll let you know a little secret as to why I didn't get into trouble so much when I was a teenager. Because I was certain that my dad would find out if I did something wrong. I knew that if I did something and then came home, somehow he'd know about it. And I'd be in trouble. So I didn't do those things. We forget that sometimes about our Heavenly Father. I wasn't afraid of my dad. I was just afraid of being in trouble. Sometimes we forget that about our Heavenly Father. That He is, well, we will be in trouble. Because He will know. I don't know how my dad would have known I did something wrong. But I know God would know because He's watching. Because He's with us. I think many times it does prevent us from doing things. Sometimes, as long as we're remembering that He's there, as long as we remember that He's watching over us, He's not necessarily watching us to get us into trouble. He's watching over us to keep us out of trouble. He won't create trouble for us. Although sometimes we blame God, don't we? You know, God, why did you let this happen to me? Sometimes the question ought to be, God, why did I do this? Back years ago, they used to have like little bracelets and t-shirts and things that said WWJD, what would Jesus do? Those were really popular for a while. You don't see those too much anymore. And I really think that that's a bad question to ask. I really do. Because usually, by the time we get around in our lives to asking the question, what would Jesus do? If Jesus was in this situation, what would He do? The answer, if we're really very honest with ourselves, is really, Jesus wouldn't be in this mess. He wouldn't be in the trouble I'm in, because He wouldn't have done what I did to get here. If we could ask that question before we got into trouble, we wouldn't get there in the first place. How excited Zacchaeus was that Jesus was coming to his house. How beautiful for him to know what was in store. How excited we should be when he comes to stay with us. And how exciting that he never leaves. Let us remember that. Amen.
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share-Alike License. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church, or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.
Well, the benediction is the good and final word, and we put it at the end so you don't miss what came in front of it. And the good word for us today is that Jesus is with us, whether we like it or not. He is there to watch over us. He is there to protect us. He is there to keep us out of the trouble we all know that we would get into if He wasn't there. We need to accept that. We need to embrace that. And if we could remember this coming week that He is there, watching out for us, watching over us, maybe we can sin just a little bit less. Maybe we can be a little bit better than we've been. This service is over. Your service may now begin. Go from this place, taking Jesus with you wherever you go. Yes, even to your house. Amen.